Hi, this is Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Are you tired of feeling housebound? I sure am. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. It's a high-performance auto curler that's rechargeable and gives you up to 60 minutes of cord-free runtime. Just think of all of the incredible hair looks you can create in 60 minutes, unbound, away from your wall. Don't get tied down by cords. Love your look. Live unbound. Check it out at conair.com and search unbound.
So I think it's important to think, what are all the things that can go right instead of worrying about all the things that can go wrong? And that usually the potential wins outweigh the losses, and that helps you overcome fear and work towards an abundant mindset.
My friend, each week I get the privilege and the honor to chat to so many wonderful individuals around the world, and I get to hear their personal story. There's so much power in a single conversation and what you can learn from that very exchange. You know, each episode I ask my guests how they define happiness and self-love and help share that wisdom and knowledge with you so that you can see a pathway to being that little bit happier here on this planet. This week, Chris Bellow, realtor and fellow podcaster of the Entrepreneur Motivation Podcast, jumps on the other side of the microphone. And if anyone understands the discipline and the mindset to not only being an entrepreneur, but creating a life that you don't need a holiday from, it's Chris. He talks about his morning routine, which he molded off Hal Elrod's Miracle Morning, and how he sets himself up for the day. This is a great conversation to listen to if you're personally struggling to find ways to structure your day or to find that time for yourself. It's super important that you do, my friends, to cater that time to yourself. We only have one life to live, so let's get you living it. Welcome back to another episode of The Ginny Show. Ginny Saraswati here, taking you through a journey of your own personalized definition of happiness. Now, joining me on this show is a lovely guest. I actually had the privilege of being on his show, Chris Bellow. Thank you. Thank you for joining me on The Ginny Show.
Thanks for having me, Ginny. I'm happy to be here.
Chris, there was so much fire that we had in our conversation. We talked about entrepreneurship. We talked about long-term economics. We talked about so many things, but for the listeners of The Ginny Show who are yet to know who Chris Bellow is, can you give us a short description on how you ended up where you are today?
Absolutely. So the short description that I give people now is that I'm a real estate investor and agent. I recently got my license, but I've been doing something called real estate wholesaling for a little over a year now. But I basically did the whole oil and gas career, had a job for 3.5 years, hated it, quit, stumbled my way through a few ideas. And then I found myself in real estate.
I love how you said you stumbled through some ideas and you found yourself in real estate. This is exciting. Chris, tell me, I've been following you on Instagram and you seem to be a pretty disciplined guy. I've seen that you like to be in shape. You work out quite a bit. Talk to me about your morning routine. How do you start your day?
That is a great question. And it's something that I also kind of stumbled through a few different ideas where I remember having a blog post about a morning routine where I started to do a 10-minute routine. I'd do a couple push-ups. I'd take a cold shower for a minute, or I'd take a regular shower and then add cold water for a minute. I took more than a 1-minute shower. Don't worry, everybody. And it has eventually transformed to the Miracle Morning, if you're familiar with that book from Hal Elrod.
Love that book. I finished his new book, The Miracle Equation, and now I'm reading Miracle Morning for Entrepreneurs at the moment. So I love that you mentioned Hal Elrod, but I'll let you continue.
Yeah. So I love that book. For anyone who hasn't read it, I always highly recommend it. And I read it probably September of last year. And I was actually on vacation in Greece when I read it on the plane. And I started the routine while on vacation. And, you know, there were a few days where I would do it. And then I was obviously traveling, so I didn't do it religiously. And I wouldn't do it on the weekends. But as of this year, since January 1st, I have not missed a single day of my routine, which is amazing because at first I was just setting out to do a daily routine during the week. And now I've been doing it every day. And for those who aren't familiar with the Miracle Morning, Hal talks about savers, S-A-V-E-R-S. So basically every morning I have 5 minutes of silence, and then the A stands for affirmation. So I go through that exercise. The V is for visualization, where I look at my vision board and I imagine the perfect day unfolding in front of me. The E is for exercise. So Hal recommends doing about 20 minutes. Sometimes I'll just do some quick stretches or yoga because I'll go to the gym later in the day or in the morning for an hour. R is for reading, and Hal recommends 20 pages. So 20 pages is better than reading nothing, everybody. Even though people might say that's nothing, you know, how much are you really going to read? You might only read 5 pages, but it's incredible. You start to finish books so much faster when you do it daily. And then the final S is for scribing or journaling, which I spend 5 minutes journaling, and I have a journal for every single day of the year, which is incredible to look back on.
Wow. I love how you just talk through, like, you seem to be really committed to the savers. I tend to stumble my way through my morning routine at times too, but it's something that I know that when I do it and I do it consistently, it's every day isn't the same as the next. So, you know, you kind of stumble your way through that. You may only get through the save of the savers, but you know, this is better than nothing.
Something's like better than nothing. 20,
yeah, absolutely. So tell me, Chris, what makes you so committed to, I guess, being a broker and working in real estate? You have to be really self-disciplined, because if you don't work or close a sale, that's your income. So obviously there's, you know, strategies and you know, discipline that requires that to keep going and to make it a sustainable business. Talk to me about, like, how you form that mindset of, you know, just keep going and just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
That's a great question. And kind of like you were laughing about earlier when I said I stumbled my way through a few ideas. That was when I said, I'm quitting my job. I hate this. I'm smart. You know, I could figure things out. 8 months later, I wasn't really making any money. And I was like, okay, I need to figure something out, because I was unfocused and I had so many different things going on. So I'm sure this is something that every entrepreneur faces, shiny object syndrome, figuring out, what does my schedule need to look like every day? What do I need to actually prioritize and focus on? And so once I got into real estate, I really defined, what do I need to do every single day? So of course, I start off with my morning routine. That just is my personal self-development goal. And then I jump straight into, I have a time block schedule for the entire day of when I want to do some prospecting, lead generation. In the afternoons, I tend to set appointments with homeowners or sellers to go see homes and possibly list them or represent buyers who are looking to purchase homes as well. So I think it's really important to have a definition of what your day needs to look like, so you're not being reactive. Because otherwise, someone might call you and say, I want to go see this house right now. And you drop everything and go, and it really can just interrupt your train of thought and your productivity. It can be a productivity killer.
Absolutely. So it's kind of the fact of every day doesn't look the same, but you kind of readjust each time. What were you doing before you were in real estate? Did you have like a standard 9-to-5 job?
I did. I worked in oil and gas. I had a job for 3.5 years there, and I did learn a lot. It was a good experience, but just every day I came in and it would be the same old. I'd wake up and I remember laying in my bed thinking, like, man, I don't want to drive. I had to drive 40 minutes to get there. And I know you live in New York, so you don't have a car, probably take the subway. But in Texas, you gotta drive everywhere. I would have to drive 40 minutes to get to work every morning, and it would take an hour to get home. And I was just like, man, I'm going to a job that doesn't inspire me, and I'm not really making a difference in the world. At least it doesn't feel like it to me. And some people would probably even argue that I'm hurting the world, because oil and gas and the fracking and all the things that they do to the earth to get oil, right? That's kind of what led me to say, let me figure out something else, because I want to be able to be in control of my time, my freedom. I don't want to have 10 vacation days a year. I want to be able to do whatever I want, whenever I want. And so that's how I ended up where I am now.
Fantastic. I love how you kind of took the path less traveled. Chris, talk to me about how you would define happiness. If you could define it in your own terms, how would you define it?
I love that question. And I know we talked about that on when you were on my podcast as well, is that happiness can be different for different people, right? What you like might not be my definition of happiness. But to me, I think happiness is doing what you love every single day, where of course you hear the saying, if you do what you love, you won't work a day in your life. It doesn't feel like work. If you're not happy and you're doing something that you're not in love with, like if you're not in love with the work, it feels like a chore. It feels like a job. And I think happiness is doing what makes you feel good within reason. Of course, I know some people will be like, drugs can make you feel good, but within reason, you know, do things that make you feel good and don't hurt others. That's my definition of happiness, at least what works for me.
What keeps you motivated to keep going? Because obviously it's a huge mindset game to be consistent in your morning routine, to be consistent in bringing value to people's lives. I'm curious to know what keeps you motivated.
That's another great question, Jenny. And it's different for everyone. I really try to create that why inside, because I don't know if we talked about this on my show, but you know, I don't have any children. I don't have mouths to feed. So it's hard sometimes, because in the back of my mind, I'm always like, you know, if things don't work out, I could just sell my house and move in with my parents and then figure things out. So really staying hungry and figuring out like, okay, I don't want to have to go back to getting a job if things get bad. And that alone is motivation for me to figure it out so that I can continue living this life that I love of freedom and going to the gym at 10 o'clock in the morning if I want to, instead of having to be stuck in a meeting, right? Talking about the quarter progress in some company that I don't care about.
I love that. I love that.
The Ginny Show. Her dream is to play Rafiki in The Lion King. That's because she acts like a baboon.
Hey, sleepyhead. Why so sleepy? Oh, it's because your mattress is a bag of potatoes and scrap metal. You should try a Nectar mattress. With award-winning layers of comfort, you can sleep easy knowing you got incredible value. Mattresses start at just $499, and you get hundreds of dollars in accessories thrown in, as well as a 365-night home trial and a forever warranty. Go to NectarSleep.com.
The Genie Show, oh, our lonely days are gone. Talk to me about one of the most difficult lessons you had to learn, but you were all the better for learning it.
There are a couple difficult lessons. There are different types of people, right? In my personality, I think sometimes entrepreneurs can be like a visionary type where you have a lot of grandiose ideas and you don't really think so much about the paperwork or the details. And that's kind of a blessing and a curse sometimes. So an example of a lesson, my first venture into entrepreneurship, I opened up a company, an LLC, with someone who worked with me at my oil and gas company. And we were friends kind of over there. We talked, we worked out together at the company gym, which was a benefit of working in a big company. We had a gym on site. And so it was like a relationship. I felt like we trusted each other and we might be able to do good things together. And of course, about 6 months or 8 months in, nothing had happened. We had created an LLC, opened a bank account, and we didn't even have a website, like no movement had happened. And I realized that we'd have ideas and a game plan and then we'd meet. And then I was the only one who was showing up to the meetings with my action items done. And he would kind of come and not really participate or try to act like he had done the work impromptu, like in front of me. And so it was clear that it wasn't going to work out. So we decided to part ways. And I thought it was going to be a nice clean breakup, so to say. But of course, it was not. And he maxed out the company credit card, stopped paying, blocked me on all social media, stopped replying to texts, and essentially left me with $10,000 of debt that I was personally liable for because I had set up the account. And I'm still dealing with that like 2 years later, trying to figure out what to do, but at the same time, not letting that distract me because I'm so focused on real estate, I don't have time to waste on getting angry over that, right? So that was one lesson I learned, is not to just blindly trust people and to make sure you're really looking at the contracts and the operating agreements. I didn't even really have an operating agreement at the time. So kind of an expensive lesson for a new entrepreneur who, you know, is excited to get started, but not aware of all the things that could happen when things go wrong.
That is such great advice, Chris. And that really resonated with me because my leadership style is very much, and I have this at my team at Ginny Media, I like to give all the trust up front. And oh, yeah. I think that really, from a team perspective, I think that really allows you to be who you are. And it really shows you show up exactly authentically as you are. And that can mean, you know, we do years and years of business and awesome work together, or the rope gets cut some of the way if you break the trust. But I think in a business partner context too, it's great to have that trust, but I think certain boundaries and agreements need to be in place to ensure that, you know, everyone is protected should something go wrong, because it's a huge liability doing business with someone when you have equal financial vested interest.
And like you said, I'm one to openly trust people too easily, because I would never betray that trust to anyone.
Exactly.
I always give people the example. Like in high school, if I borrowed a dollar from somebody for lunch or to buy cookies, I would pay it back the next day when I came back to school. That was just me. I wasn't the guy who's like, I'm going to take 10 bucks and I'm just going to change schools. Like the thought never occurred to me, right?
And I was a sucker who always, the kids who didn't have lunch order money would come to me going, oh, I forgot to bring my lunch today, knowing full well I'd put like $2 bill out. And
they had no intention of paying back either, right?
Exactly. But I think for me, I kind of think back to of the intention. Like I didn't give them money so they would pay me back. I gave them money so they could have a meal. But I think if I keep doing that, obviously I'm opening myself up to vulnerability for getting played consistently. So I got to take a bit of accountability for that as well. But I like what you said, how you stick to your word, you're true to your word, and you pay people back when you say that you will. It's a testament to integrity.
Absolutely.
With this lesson that you learned, Chris, how are you the better for it? Are you getting better at drawing boundaries, or like how has it kind of benefited you doing business?
It's benefited me in that now I'm more cautious because I don't want to just close off relationships and say I'm never partnering with anyone again, because I know I'm a very abundant-minded person where I know that infinite amounts of wealth and money can be generated, and this is just a small setback. And I don't want to potentially poison future relationships just because that one bad apple. And so I think now I'm a little more cautious. Before people want to do business or work together, I say, hey, let's have something more in writing than I did before. I had a standard, some LegalZoom contract that I didn't even read, right? And it's not until things went bad that I was like, let me look at this. I'm like, I don't even know if there's any protections offered here. So now I'm a little more cautious when people want to do business ideas, or if they want to work together on a real estate deal. I'm like, look, I like you, I trust you, but let's get something in writing, because especially in real estate, if we're sharing a lead or something like that, someone could take that lead, close on a deal, and cut you out completely, which happens all the time in the industry. Of course, it burns bridges. So people who are short-sighted will take advantage of that, but if you have a longer-term vision, you won't. But I think it's important to at least draw up something on paper.
Absolutely. Some very clear boundaries and terms that are agreed upon by mutual parties, I think, is absolutely essential in moving forward. In saying that, Chris, I'm curious to know, clearly you're a very well-rounded, disciplined entrepreneur. I love how you have an abundance mindset. An abundance mindset is very hard to get through, especially when we have our four-letter F-word friend, and with those of you with the dirty mind out there, is actually fear I'm talking about. Especially when you have that friend that pops in from time to time, it really challenges your abundance mindset. How do you overcome or filter out fear so you can maintain that abundance mindset?
That is another great question, because fear is always in the back of our mind. Well, one of my taglines in my podcast is less dreaming, more doing. And I say that on my website a lot. I am skydive certified. That's an example I threw out too, where jumping out of a plane for the first time is terrifying, but as you do it more, you fear it less and you actually find it a little more fun. At a certain point, it starts becoming more fun instead of scary. So I think it's important to think, what are all the things that can go right instead of worrying about all the things that can go wrong? And that usually the potential wins outweigh the losses, and that helps you overcome fear and work towards an abundant mindset.
Wow. Well, that's great advice there, Chris. And I love how you put skydiving in there. It terrifies most people, especially
me. I always throw it in there because most people are like, I would never do that. I'm like, dude, I've done it like 40 times now and I want to go more.
To kind of sum up our conversation, Chris, I'm also curious to know, recently I saw you post on social media about some negative feedback that you were given on your presentation style. I think, or presentation style, or something that you said, you pretty much said that if you said like too much, I'm paraphrasing very poorly here, that you sounded like a girl and someone wrote back, but I think you handled that really graciously. So I'm curious to know, when you're given feedback that's very confronting and also not aligned with who you perceive yourself to be, how do you talk yourself through that to remain in that kind of integral light and that positive mind frame?
I love that question, and thanks for doing the research. That's cool that you saw in my story.
I kind of chuckled a little bit because I've spoken to you before and I know that you are far from chauvinistic or anything demeaning to women anyways. So I chuckled going, I know he didn't mean that to be rude.
To give some background on what Ginny's talking about, everyone, I had put out a podcast and I was talking about how when I had an internship before at an oil and gas company, of course, in Houston, I was saying like a lot all the time, where say I was on the phone and I'd say, yeah, I want to like do this. And like, can you like, every 2 seconds I was saying like. And I was saying that a colleague of mine, he literally told me this word for word. So I was just quoting him. He said I sounded like a little girl when I kept saying like a million times. And someone who had listening to my episode or my podcast and had listened to 6 episodes in a row or something, said, I really liked the content and expected it to be professional, but I was really disappointed to see this episode where you said you sounded like a girl and I don't want you to segregate your audience or something like that. And I wanted to let you know because I don't feel like listening anymore. And so I kind of vented to social media where I said, really? Like, I'm sorry. I just said like again. I'm sorry you didn't like my free content that you pay $0 for. And I'm sorry that I was quoting somebody exactly, but I promise I was not trying to say, like, I'm not trying to just target men in my audience. I want to be equal and everything. But I think she was really just, I can't believe she even emailed me that to complain. But while I vented in social media, I also shared the response that I had to her where I was like, thank you for the criticism and the feedback. I promise I wasn't trying to do whatever you think I was doing, and I'll be more aware of that in the future. Something along those lines. So I think sometimes Hal talks about this too. You get 5 minutes to vent, scream, punch a wall, get upset about something, but then clear your head, be collecting your thoughts in your response. Yes. Because if I were to fire off an email while I'm angry, then that might do more damage than good versus just coming back with a nice response. And I genuinely wanted her to know that I did not mean the things the way that she thought I was saying them.
100% agree, Chris. Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Ginny Show. I feel like I could keep talking to you for another hour, but unfortunately my podcast and schedule does not permit that. But we'll have to have you back on the Ginny Show because it's just been absolute fire yet again. Another awesome conversation with you. But Chris, tell the good people of the Ginny Show where we can find you out in the world.
You can find me at in the world. My podcast is Entrepreneur Motivation Podcast. It's funny because now I could never even get a job if I wanted, because if you Google Chris Bello, you can see I'm all about anti-corporate entrepreneurship. So I've kind of pigeonholed myself where I have to be successful now because no one's going to want to hire me. You can also go to chrisbello.com, and that's just C-H-R-I-S, B as in boy, E-L-L-O.com. And you'll find me on all my social media channels.
Fantastic. Well, make sure you check out Chris Bello. He's an awesome inspiration and has got great motivation for happiness and entrepreneurship as well. Chris Bello, thanks for being on the Ginny Show.
Thank you so much, Ginny. I really loved being here. The Ginny Show. Oh, how long it takes,
I've gone. This is Kat.
And Nat from the Mom Truth Podcast.
Does your little one love Paw Patrol?
What about dinosaurs?
Well, the new season of Paw Patrol is here, and guess what?
It's a dino rescue. I can't wait for my kid to watch each episode 10 times a night.
All of your holiday and birthday gift shopping is pretty much done because, of course, there are a whole new batch of dino rescue toys. And for a limited time at Target, get 15% off the new Paw Patrol dino rescue toys with the code PAW15. Check it out. It's gonna be possum.